This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala Rasulillahi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. We always should be praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we do praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we are praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Falhamdulillahi ala kulli hal. We send blessings and salutations upon the one chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Indeed, for whenever we send blessings and salutations upon him, we will receive a reward that is tenfold. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless him, his companions, his household, all those who struggled and strove through the generations in a way that today we are seated where we are. The effort of others has allowed us to sit where we are today. The question I have to begin with for myself and yourselves: what effort are you making so that generations to come can also be seated in the houses of Allah? Give importance to the Quran and the month of Ramadan and those things that Allah has given importance to. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continue to use us to serve this deen in one way or another. Ameen. My beloved brothers and sisters, it brings back memories for when I led the Taraweeh. Actually, I can word it differently. The Isha Salah, the Taraweeh, the Witr, and the Tafsir in the year 2003 for the entire month. I'm sure many of you were witness to it. That time we were much younger. It was many, many years ago, perhaps 15, 16 years back. You can imagine now, the young ones, when we listen to them, we are so proud of them. Wallahi. The Huffaz who have made an effort not just to read tonight, but reading anywhere in any masjid across the globe. Congratulations to you. We love you. We care for you. We are proud of you. It is through the effort of those blessed parents of yours, or whoever else it might have been, who pushed you and kept pushing you, that today you stand in the front and lead us in Taraweeh. There was a time many years back when we used to import Huffaz from Cape Town. And we don't ever want to see a time where we are stuck for Huffaz. My brothers and sisters, there is one thing that I'd like to remind you about that I am very passionate about. It is a stern warning in a hadith that has great glad tidings. Many of us quote the hadith only connected to the glad tidings, but forget about the stern warning within that hadith. Allah has created you and I never ever to prove that we have more deeds than another, but rather to prove that we have better deeds than the other. الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. A few verses in the Quran, not just one, where Allah says, I have created death and life in order to test you who from amongst you has better deeds. When I say a few verses in the Quran, I'm talking of the issue of better deeds. Allah makes mention of better deeds. Your farad is your farad. What is an obligation and compulsory, you are not going to be able to change that. You have to fulfill it. You would be sinful if you didn't. But Allah says we look for quality rather than quantity. Remember this. If you read the Quran melodiously, Allah loves it more than if you were to complete the whole khatam in an insulting way. What is an insulting way? The hadith says, رُبَّ قَارِئٍ لِلْقُرْآنِ وَالْقُرْآنُ يَلْعَنُهُ. There are reciters, readers who read the Quran while the Quran is cursing them. Many reasons I want to mention only two. One is you are reading the Quran, it is telling you to fulfill salah and you don't. There is a curse. It is telling you to give zakah, you know it's compulsory on you and you don't. It is telling you to actually dress modestly, you know that you should but you don't. It is telling you to abstain from adultery, fornication, immorality, abusive language, haram food, etc., etc., but you don't. What's the point? Subhanallah. You are reading these verses. The Quran, Al-Quranu hujjatun laka aw alayk. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, this Quran shall bear witness for you or against you on the day of Qiyamah. Don't think it's a mere book. It's a word of Allah. They will come up and bear witness. The Quran comes up as an intercessor on the day of Qiyamah. It will intercede on behalf of people. Subhanallah. try to learn it, put it into practice, convey it to others. So, the hadith that I wanted to mention that speaks of glad tidings with a warning in it is a hadith. Hadithu sahibi al-Quran. Hadithu sahibi al-Quran. The hadith of the one who has the Quran. What is the meaning of has the Quran? We all know a hafiz is included in there. Someone who has memorized the Quran is included in there. But I've actually read some explanations that say anyone who takes the Quran importantly and has memorized at least a portion of it, and I'm sure every single one of us is included, because Surah Al-Fatiha, you know it, don't you? Subhanallah. A few other surahs, you know them, don't you? You are included in this. It will be said to you on the Day of Judgment. What is the saying? Let's take the more common meaning of a person who's a hafiz, okay? It will be said to him on the Day of Judgment, Iqra. I'm sure you all know what the term Iqra means, right? It means read. Wartaqi. And as you are reading, go up. Where? Up. The ranks of Jannah. You can go up, keep on going up, ascend, read and ascend. Subhanallah. May Allah make us from among those. But there's a catch. Now comes the warning. Big warning. Severe warning. Rattil kama kunta turattilu fid dunya. Oh, people don't translate that. They don't know what it means. They don't understand what it's saying. They just look at it as it's a bonus for the huffaz. Allah says, read the way you used to read in the world. Let's hear you. You won't be able to read in another way. The only way you are ever going to be able to read on that day is how you tried to read in the world. That's it. That is a warning. A warning for the huffaz who are standing in the front. A warning for every one of us reading the Quran. Take your time. Male and female, read the Quran melodiously. Add a melody. You're going to be reading it in front of Allah. You don't want to whip through Surah Al-Fatiha, you'll be stuck. Subhanallah. So don't forget, whenever you hear this hadith, it has glad tidings, but wallahi, wallahi, it has a warning in it that people actually don't notice. رَتِّلْ كَمَا كُنْتَ تُرَتِّلُ فِي الدُّنْيَا فَإِنَّ مَنْزِلَكَ عِنْدَ آخِرِ آيَةٍ تَقْرَأُهَا. Your rank shall be exactly at the last verse that you will be able to read. According to the muhaddithin, that is not connected to the strength of your hifz. You could make a mistake. It is normal and human to make a mistake. Subhanallah. You will be corrected. But it is connected to how much you practiced upon the Quran. Right at the beginning in Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah kept a verse, وَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُ الزَّكَاةَ. We've heard that, right? If you haven't established your prayer, you get stuck at that verse. Subhanallah. When I looked at it, I thought to myself, Allah should have kept it somewhere in the 15th juz, so at least we could have whipped through the first 15. Subhanallah. But He kept it right at the beginning. As-salatu imadu ad-dini faman aqamaha faqad aqama ad-dini waman hadamaha faqad hadama ad-din. Salah is the founding pillar of Islam. What holds your Islam? Five pillars. Is the salah holds it up. Whoever has established it will hold up their Islam. Whoever has demolished it has demolished their Islam. Salah. My brothers and sisters, how beautifully we have gathered for Salah. How beautifully we are fulfilling Taraweeh. What is the point if we were to fulfill the voluntary Taraweeh, but we are sleeping over Fajr, we have a doubt about Dhuhr, we feel lazy when it comes to Asr, we barely make it for Maghrib, and Isha, we are already lazing and sleeping. And if there's football, astaghfirullah. May Allah grant our teams a good win, mashallah. The problem is everyone supports a different team. So I always say, well, one day his dua is accepted, the other day the other one's dua is accepted, and the following day the other one's dua is accepted. But I want to tell you, don't give so much importance to amusement, play and pastime. It's only a game. You might show a little bit of interest in it within limits, but don't show an interest in it more than you show an interest in your obligations unto Allah. Remember that. People say, is it okay? There is no answer to it. It depends how you take it. It depends to what level you drive yourself. Some people don't mind flying all the way to Europe to watch the UEFA, but they haven't yet been for Hajj. Allahu Akbar. They haven't gone for Umrah. They cannot go to the masjid down the road. But they visited Arsenal. Subhanallah. Masjid down the road. This is why I say, you got your priorities straight. Allah says, the quality of your deed is what we want. What is the quality of your deed? I want to talk of that today and about it a little bit. Salatul Isha, we know, is compulsory. Did you come a little bit early or you're always in a rush? When the Imam says, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. What happens? Some people, and we shouldn't be doing this, but some people do, look back, right? What are they looking at? Who came late? The sad part is the same faces are coming late every day. But the good thing is they're making it to the masjid, right? While we want to encourage your effort, we don't want to keep you without a small reminder to say, you can do a bit better than this, inshallah. لَوْ يَعْلَمُ النَّاسُ مَا فِي النِّدَاءِ وَالصَّفِّ الْأَوَّلِ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَجِدُوا إِلَّا أَن يَسْتَهِمُوا عَلَيْهِ لَاسْتَهَمُوا. If people knew the value of the first saf, and they knew the value of calling out the adhan, and they found no other way to get there besides drawing lots, they would have drawn lots in order to ensure that they had a fair chance to get to the front. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. So can't you make it a little bit better, the quality of your deed? I made it for salah, but I don't want to be late. I made it in the fourth saf. Tomorrow, I'm going to make it in the third. I'm coming 5 minutes earlier. I'll spend a little bit more time with Allah. Now you're talking business. When you enter the house of Allah, if you're in a rush to leave, you need help. But when you enter the house of Allah, the contentment makes you not want to leave, but you know you have to leave because of your other duties and responsibilities. You're heading in the right direction. When you pick up the Quran and you want to read it, and you can't wait to close it and to go and do something else, you need help. We're talking of ahsanu amala, make your deed better. When you open the Quran and you can't stop, but you know you have to close it because now you've got one or two other things to do, you're heading in the right direction. You see the deed. And as you grow older, you should be getting closer to Allah. May Allah open our doors. So the point was, you will only be able to recite the way you used to read in the dunya. Therefore, take your time. I would kiss the huffaz on their heads, those who most beautifully recite, trying to be as melodious as possible, as correct as possible, not so slow that people get upset, and not fast that they upset Allah. But to strike a balance between the two is your duty. A few years ago, I recall, people used to be worried about the watch. They used to say, okay, I won't say the name of the masjid, but maybe you know it here in Lanesia. That masjid finishes sharp, sharp. That was the word they used to use. Sharp, sharp. And wallahi, the difference was 5 to 10 minutes. You are compromising liyabluwakum ayyukum ahsanu amalan because of 10 minutes. Imagine. And when you go to listen to the recording, it's like you don't know what's being said. 2 days ago, someone sent me a clip from some country, perhaps in Far East Asia, where the imam was an insult, not just to Allah, but to the Muslimin. I don't know if you saw the clip. He was pecking the ground. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Assalamu alaikum, rahmatullah, Allahu Akbar. What was that? What are you trying to prove? Don't read your taraweeh instead of insulting Allah. Do 2, 4 properly than to insult Allah. May Allah forgive us. So what I want to drive home today, my brothers and sisters, if you are slow in reciting and you haven't finished your khatam in Ramadan, it's okay. For as long as you tried your best and you tried to read correctly and melodiously, even if you finish 2 or 5, next year you finish another 5, or through the year you might want to do more. So the idea is to try and complete, because that's what we want. It's a sunnah indeed. But if you haven't managed, don't compromise the quality, because it's not compulsory to complete. It's a very fine message I'm delivering. While not discouraging those who are doing khatams, I am just saying, please watch your quality. What's the point of buying a BMW and you find inside there is an engine of a Daihatsu? May Allah forgive us. What's the point? Hypocritical. People see us outwardly, mashallah, subhanallah, we're sitting with the Quran, but we are whipping through it. Don't whip. Take your time. Take it easy. Allah tests you with these deeds. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells you to be careful. So that is one issue that we need to worry about. The quality of recitation, our own, male and female. The females, obviously, within their own circle or in their own house. We're not talking of public recitals in the presence of all males who are not mahram, etc., etc. Whatever that may be, subhanallah, we are talking about the recitation even within your home. Add a little voice to what you're reading and make an intention, oh Allah, I want to please you. If you think for a moment, you should imagine and picture yourself reading in front of Allah. And then you make that melodious. You need a little bit of courage for that. Go for it. Go for it. Today, I'm giving you that courage to tell you, go for it. You will never go wrong. It will bring about a calmness that you never imagined you could get to. Calm. Why? Because you were honoring the word of Allah. Honor the word of Allah. See the honor Allah gives you as a human being. Look at the Hufadh. Those who recite and make an effort. What honor Allah gives them. Just by mere ifd. And by working hard. And by recitals. Subhanallah. May Allah grant us all barakah. The second point I want to raise tonight. We do lots and lots of good deeds. Yes, we do. And mashallah, tabarakallah, it is highly encouraged. And we should be. Our fasting, our charities, etc., etc. My brothers and sisters, don't allow the robber to steal those deeds. Who is the robber? Either the shaitan within you or the external shaitan. In the month of Ramadan, one of the two is tied up. The other one is still on the prowl. The shayateen are actually tied up. But those within you, you as a shaitan, are still okay. You're alive. You're fine.
وَكَذَٰلِكَ جَعَلْنَا لِكُلِّ نَبِيٍّ عَدُوًا شَيَاطِينَ الْإِنسِ وَالْجِنِّ يُوحِي بَعْضُهُمْ إِلَىٰ بَعْضٍ زُخْرُفَ الْقَوْلِ غُرُورًا.
The point I want to raise is Allah mentions two types of shaitans. One is shayateen al-ins, the devils from among mankind, you and your cronies. May Allah not do that to us. May we never be a devilish force, neither in our own lives nor in the lives of those around us. May we always be an angelic force, a force that reminds people to do good. When people see you, they should remember Allah. The smile you have, the expression you have, that is the entry point, subhanallah. As soon as someone sees you, what's the first thing they see? Your expression. So the hadith says, you can convert it into a charity. Come, convert it. By doing what? Just have a good expression. Start smiling a little bit. You converted it. Many of us are not conscious of the expressions on our faces. We're not. Honestly, try it out. You won't even age in a rush. Because you won't have so many headlines. You'll be smiling, mashallah, all the time. And that smile keeps you going. It keeps you young, mashallah. Energetic. Because it really, it beams a lot of positive energy. That's what it is. So your deeds that you do are great. But it is not easy to protect those deeds. Look, I want to tell you, we're living here in this country, South Africa, where the crime rate is not low. I'm wording it respectfully. And you know that even if you were to leave your shoes for a moment, they may disappear. You know when you leave your shoes out there, it might be the last time I've seen them. You have a wida' with those shoes as you leave. It could happen to your car. The last time we were talking about robberies, someone was speaking about which country is worse, Zimbabwe or South Africa. And I said, no, there's no competition. The brother says, no, you don't know. You don't know. I said, no, I do. I'm telling you, I come from a place, alhamdulillah, relatively better. But that is only by the fadl of Allah. It could change. Who knows? But at the same time, we should be thankful to Allah. So the brother was saying, you know what? You are right. Here, the way people steal, they can steal the milk in your tea when you look the other way. And I said, no, in fact, as you look the other way, they will steal the color in your tea. You're left with hot water. And when you taste it, even the sugar is gone, subhanAllah. And the third sip, even the water's out. Never mind that. The brother says, you know what? The cup won't be there. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us. So what do? We protect ourselves. We protect ourselves. People invest millions on CCTV, right? They invest millions on the reaction unit. They invest millions on neighborhood watches and security zones and secured clusters and so on. But they don't invest a penny when it comes to their deeds being stolen by the bad deeds that they do that have deleted the good. Or given the good to someone else. What does that mean? Let me explain. We made salah, we did taraweeh, we read Quran, we fasted today. We ask Allah to accept it. As we're walking out, we talk about that uncle, that auntie, that child, that teenager, this one, what did we do? We are backbiting. Because you didn't have that zone, that security zone, because you didn't have your own CCTV, your surveillance, because there were no people watching. When I say people, I mean, you know, the power within you watching yourself. Because you didn't have that, your deed started going without you noticing. You look back, the milk is gone. You look back, the color is gone. You look back, the water is gone. That's what happened. You look back, the taraweeh is gone. You look back, the isha is gone. You look back, the fast is gone. Where did it go? The guy I was backbiting, the other sister I was slandering, this person who I deceived, that one who I abused, this one here who I hurt the feelings of. The hadith says you come on the day of judgment thinking you're going to go to heaven because you were pious. How many of us believe that we're going to Jannah and the others are not? You don't even know. They might be there before you. May Allah grant us Jannah through His mercy. None of us are going to enter Jannah through our deeds. We only go into Jannah through the mercy of Allah. And that mercy of Allah is only achieved by trying and constantly trying to achieve that mercy. You try, Allah says, you just keep trying, I'll give it to you. Without a trial, may Allah forbid. We don't know what to expect. Foolish. You try to apply for a job, 2 jobs, 3 jobs, 5 times, 10 times. One of them will come through, right? But if you sat at home, you didn't even apply. Even the one that was dangling won't come because they didn't know that you existed. The same applies to marriage and proposals. You got a daughter, you got a sister, you got someone who's connected to you. If you don't open your eyes and start looking and talking, they won't even know she exists. And people are making a dua, oh Allah, I need to get married. But no one knows about you. No one even knows you ever existed. Your folks, your father's too shy. He goes to the masjid. He sees 20 propositions that he could open his mouth. But he's just saying, oh Allah, send us a man here. Man don't know daughter exists. Please buy. May Allah forgive us. It's a reality. You open your mouth. You need to do something about it. The same applies. You want the mercy of Allah. You need to do something to try to get the mercy of Allah. Allah says, you tried, I give it to you. Subhanallah. May Allah bless us. So the 2 points I wanted to raise tonight, and I'll close my talk. The first one was, the quality of your deed matters, not the quantity. The second one is, once you've done your deeds, look after them, protect them. Don't hurt, don't harm, don't deceive, don't abuse. Don't ever give your deeds away. That's why the Quran says in a few places, مَنْ جَاءَ بِالْحَسَنَةِ فَلَهُ عَشْرُ أَمْثَالِهَا. Whoever comes with a good deed, comes where? Allah didn't say whoever does a good deed. Whoever comes with a good deed, they will have a reward tenfold. Minimum. It could go more. What's the key word here? Come. You came on the day of judgment with the good deed. To do your deed in the world was not difficult. Today we did, mashallah, taraweeh and whatever else. We did a lot of ibadah. It wasn't so difficult. Come on. But to protect it is 10 times more difficult because now you have a life. You don't know how many years. For all those years, you're going to have to watch out. Be careful of your safe. Put your ibadah in the safe. Just like you would put something valuable in the safe. Lock it, key it, another safe, a third safe, one safe in another, etc., etc. You keep your deeds. It is 10 times more difficult to keep your deeds. So if you come on the day of judgment and you still have your good deeds intact with you, you deserve credit minimum tenfold. That's why Allah says, we're going to multiply it 10 times. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us goodness. May Allah open our doors. Ramadan has commenced, mashallah. We have the first Friday of Ramadan. We are now, mashallah, heading towards the second week of Ramadan. And before you know it, it's going to end. Remember, don't be someone who comes to the masjid at the beginning of Ramadan and then you see them on the odd nights right near the end, subhanallah. Sometimes when the khatam is done in the masjid and the Quran is completed, the recitation of it, nobody comes into the masjid anymore. Subhanallah. Keep it going. You know when you have a long distance runner, what's the difference? They pace it out. They make sure they start. At the beginning you might think, hey, what's going on here? You know, this is supposed to be one of the best runners in the world. They know what they're doing. And guess what? It climaxes at the end. When the last few hundred meters are remaining, then what do you notice? Then you separate the donkey from the horse. Subhanallah. You see who's running now. May Allah make us horses, not donkeys. Ameen. We need to sprint. From now, we keep going. And at the end, we will sprint by the will of Allah. Allah keeps it such that the excitement of Ramadan builds as the days pass. So don't lose that virtue. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive every single one of us. أقول قولي هذا وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد سبحان الله وبحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك.